Here we go. Tuesday morning on the John DeBella Show Daily Podcast, May 18th, the date it might get loud. That's where we started off this morning before boarding the Chinese Titanic. Steve came in with a rather jarring scar, and it led us to our phone topic for today. Your dumb injuries, how did they happen? Jimmy Page played the mandolin for the first time in Song Stories. We heard about a decisions app. Musicologist Chris Epting joined us to talk Sweet Home Alabama. And we went over more snack combos with Cindy Graham. Have a listen. Here we go. It is The Daily Podcast.
You know that documentary, It May Get Loud?
No.
This is the one with The Edge, Jimmy Page, and was it Jack White?
Okay.
All right. You've never seen this?
No, I've never seen it.
It's the three of them get together, and they just talk guitars and guitar sounds and stuff like that. I saw outtakes from it last night that I never saw before. Well, because there were outtakes, obviously.
Yeah.
And it has to do with Hedley Grange, and at one point here's Jimmy Page playing a mandolin, right? You know, but a whole bunch of things. I had never seen Hedley Grange. I had never seen what it really looked
like. I've just seen pictures. This was video?
It was video. Okay. What it looked like inside. I expected it to be a completely different looking house.
Okay.
Right? And it was just so cool. But we're going to get to the first time Jimmy Page played a mandolin for Song Stories this morning.
The John DeBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
It seems, let's go to China. Was I culturally appropriating?
I was not sure what year it was that we were entering.
Okay.
But okay, I'm here.
It seems that an investor in China, Su Xiaojun, right, decided that what the world needed was the Titanic once again.
Ah, the unsinkable ship.
Right. But this one won't be going anywhere. But he's a fan of the ship, he's a fan of the lore, and he's a fan of James Cameron films.
Okay.
Okay, so he is building a replica of the Titanic. It's a tribute ship. It'll be a museum and hotel, right? Mm-hmm. So you can spend $300 and spend the night on board, even though you're not going anywhere.
I mean, probably for the best that you're not going anywhere.
Yeah. It's part of some amusement park, and if that ship isn't going anywhere, or you know, isn't enough for you, you will have the joy of hearing Celine Dion's "My Heart Will Go On." Will go on.
All right.
On the bus back and forth ship. God.
This is hell on earth.
In some countries that serves as punishment for low-level criminals. Just put them in a room, make them live in that song.
It's a worthy punishment.
Speaking of songs, of course, the Philly 500 is coming up. This is where you get to determine the 500 best songs that we could possibly play and the order that they should be played. And there is always a write-in vote on the website where you could add a song that might not be on the list already. We're suggesting you add in Brandy by Looking Glass.
Yes.
Because we got into a whole thing with Bill, our program director, about this song, right? And what the hell it took to just get it on the wheel of wow.
Yeah, it took weeks.
All right, you know.
I had to hear it at weddings to say, Bill, people are playing it.
Right, people know this song. Yeah. People like this song, you know. Then again, he doesn't go to movies. He doesn't know about Guardians of the Galaxy and how it was part of that and all that stuff. So we've decided to ask you to make that your write-in vote. We're just curious, how high could we get Brandy's, Looking Glass's Brandy up onto the list? So if you're voting and you do that at WMGK.com, just go in there. You might even win $500, right? But go in there, place your votes, but make sure your write-in vote is for a Brandy by Looking Glass. And we'll see how that plays out. There's nothing Bill loves more than us screwing with his programming.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Mm-mm.
102.9 MGK.
I've got to ask, and people won't be able to see this, but what did you do to your arm, Steve?
So, it's multiple times I've done this, but the most recent one just happened yesterday. I was taking it in an oven rack out of the oven while cooking and trying to also block my one-year-old from touching the hot oven, so I kind of got my ass stuck out. And I pull the rack out. I wasn't paying attention as I'm looking at the one-year-old. And I pulled the rack out and bent my arm in a way that the rack pressed right up against my bicep at about 400 degrees. And
God.
Immediate burn on my arm. Hey, but it's not the first time I've done it. I've done this,
you've done this
exact
more than once?
Same thing multiple times. Last time it was with Steven when he was younger.
Your children need a leash.
Tell me about it.
Have you ever done a dumb injury?
Not kid inspired injuries, but when I was in middle school, I guess the dumbest thing I ever did was take a pocket knife out and do the classic, oh, I'm going to carve my initials in the tree. You know, me and my girlfriend at the time. She wasn't even my girlfriend. It was just a girl I liked. So I wanted to put DG plus CY.
I can't believe. Wait a second. Are you trying to get me to believe that you have not done anything dumb injury wise since you were in middle school?
Never broke a bone.
Right. Well, I'm not asking to break a bone.
I chased after a guy drunk and got my butt whooped. That was pretty stupid, but not as stupid as closing a pocket knife on my finger for an imaginary girlfriend. Oh. I still have the scar on my middle finger.
You really?
Yeah. Yep.
I have a shed in the backyard. You've seen the shed in my backyard, right?
Yeah.
And when you getting into it, you have to step up to get into it. When you're getting out, you have to step down. But the doorway, when stepping up, the doorway is just a little too small for me. I'm too tall for the doorway, right? So when I'm stepping in, it's not a problem because I'm stepping up and, you know, and I understand, you know, what's about. When I'm walking out of it, without fail, I will either not duck low enough or not duck at all. So either I am smashing my head against the frame of it or I'm scraping it. How many times have I come in here and you guys are going, what's going on
John,
the top of your head?
You're bleeding again.
You're bleeding again. Yeah. You're bleeding again. Yep. All right. And it's that damn shed. It really is. I should just cut a hole in it and have like a little door that opens with the door.
like a saloon door in the old West.
Exactly. Exactly. Look, I remember a story about a guy who was couldn't get the lug nuts. He had a flat tire, couldn't get the lug nuts off of his car, right, off the wheel. And he's sitting there with the wrench and the lug nuts won't move. So his idea was that he was carrying a gun and he would shoot them off. I'm sorry, Roy Rogers, but that just doesn't work, right? Shoots it, right? Misses the lug nut, hits the wheel, right? Ricochets off the wheel, right into his calf.
Oh, nice. Right? Nice.
You know, so I mean, and we're not alone. When it comes to dumb injuries, everyone's done one, so we want to know what yours is. Call us here in the studio, 215-263-WMGK. Come on, confess. We know you've done something dumb along the way that has managed to injure yourself. What is it?
The John DeBella Podcast.
Mamma mia.
Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
Maybe it was one of you guys talking about Todd Rundgren getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and someone texted into that, didn't he produce Dark Side of the Moon? And that's a big no. Bat Out of Hell, yes.
All right, Led Zeppelin 4. Abbey Road.
No, I don't think so. No, that's Alan Parsons. Well, there is no producer on Dark Side of the Moon. The band produced the album. Alan Parsons was the engineer, and there was, you know, a mixing tech and an assistant engineer.
Great podcast on it, by the way, that we did with him on the website.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Talked all about it.
All right, yeah. Just a great guy. Somebody that I met a very long time ago and have managed to stay friendly with over all these years, although we never see each other anymore. But, you know, without fail, every couple of years, Alan's up to something and we're doing an interview and that's our reconnect. But 54 degrees outside right now. Temperatures today getting up to about 80. It will be a sunny, beautiful day to be alive and living in Philadelphia. But right now,
you know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents Song Stories.
Song Stories being brought to us by Avantor Sciences, hiring warehouse material handlers at $16 an hour. Today, and it's funny because I was talking about this very thing earlier this morning because I never knew what Hedley Grange looked like. I always had it in my head, imagined this, you know, English manor house, this Victorian country home, right, that they recorded it was Led Zeppelin 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, you know, out there. And I was looking around for some information about it yesterday, and I see this clip from that documentary, Might Get Loud. In it, Jimmy Page drives up to Hedley Grange, and I see the building for the first time, and I see that massive stairwell that they put Bonzo's drums in.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, he's sitting outside, and he's got a mandolin, and he's playing it outside of Hedley Grange. There's an interesting story about the mandolin itself, because until the Battle of Evermore, Jimmy Page never played the mandolin.
I mean, I know I'm blowing my own trumpet, but even I can't believe that these sort of things happen. At Headley Grange, John Paul Jones had got a few instruments there. He had a mandolin there. And I remember going over to this mandolin and picking it up. And I'd never played a mandolin before. I didn't know the tuning or anything. And literally, I just played it, and it was Battle of Evermore, just like that. The band had been working together quite a while up to that point and really knew each other, so consequently good things came out of it, because you knew whatever you're coming up with was going to be good at the end of the day.
The John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I've got a question for all of you this morning. Would you pay someone to make decisions for you?
No.
Maybe. Give me more.
There's a blonde in the next room that would.
I'm not paying her to make any decisions for me, though.
No. But she would pay to have somebody make decisions for her.
She wouldn't pay a lot, I can tell you that much.
Okay, what if you got paid for the privilege of making decisions for somebody?
Yep, Taylor.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
I'll make your decisions.
She needs a gift consultant.
Does she ever? There's an app called Nunu.
Okay.
Which was my father's nickname for some story, but it was N-U-N-U. This is N-E-W-N-E-W. And it lets you charge people $5 to vote and make choices for you. Like, you know, what to have for lunch or where to go out on a date or whatever.
Okay. Have we forgotten how to flip a coin?
Is that a lost art? I mean, this is why I'm happy I'm older than you guys, because the world is slowly degenerating down to a level of stupidity that, you know, you're going to pay somebody to make decisions for you, right? I only do that with financial people.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Wait a
minute. Do my taxes. Right, tell me where to invest. I'm done.
Exactly. But supposedly it's mostly meant for another way for influencers to monetize.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, you know, what it is they do. Yeah, because that's what I want. I want Daniela to Kella, right, to make my decisions on where I should be investing. Friggin' break. The world is becoming hopeless day by day.
That's true.
The John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
If there's a bustle in your hedgerow, 50 lyrical lines that help define the 70s, he's the author, he's a musicologist, he's our friend Chris Epting. Hiya, Chris.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Okay, today it's Skynyrd, it's Southern Man, and there is a feud, or was there a feud? What's the story here?
When Lynyrd Skynyrd came out with Sweet Home Alabama, they,
right.
You know, they're sort of name-checking certain things. There's a line in there about Muscle Shoals got the Swampers.
Right.
That referred to the session players down at the recording studio at Muscle Shoals, Alabama. But there's also a line in there where they call out Neil Young. Yeah, I hope Neil Young will remember Southern Man, don't need him around anyhow. And it supposedly generated this feud because Neil Young had put out a song called Alabama, which was really kind of a condescending take on the state of Alabama. And they took issue with that. Lynyrd Skynyrd took issue with that, sort of offended their Southern pride and all this. But in reality, they actually were big fans of Neil Young, and he was big fans of theirs. And they, you know, Ronnie Van Zant would often wear Neil Young, you know, concert t-shirts on stage. But because of that lyric, because of how big that song got, supposedly these guys hated each other. But they really didn't. And I think what's really interesting, to me, the great backstory on this is right after the tragic Skynyrd plane crash, when they lost several of their members in the crash, Neil Young, a few weeks after that, was doing a benefit concert down in Florida. And he actually performed Sweet Home Alabama.
Whoa!
He did it as part of a medley with his song, and it was the last time he ever performed that song. And he said, you know what? These guys were right. What I did in this song really was kind of condescending and did take some unfair shots. And he retired the song after that show.
Wow. Wow. That is the first time I think Neil Young ever said he was wrong.
but it really kind of points out, I'm a big Skynyrd fan. That, you know, that was their breakout hit, obviously. And I always kind of liked the fact that they had no problem calling him out on a song that lives forever, obviously. But I like the fact that Young, you know, again, that relationship existed and that they kind of opened his eyes a little bit, you know. And I think it's I can't hear that song today and not think about that event with Neil Young afterwards.
Well, you know, the wild thing is when you listen to, especially earlier Neil Young, there isn't all that much distance between the way Skynyrd sounded and the way he did. I mean, right. there was a lot of similarity in the sound of their music, not in their writing, but in the sound of their music. You heard that Southern thing, and he was from Canada.
I know, but he so embraced, you know, American roots music that you're right. You're totally right. And I think it was on the last Skynyrd album. I believe Ronnie Van Zandt is wearing a Tonight's the Night t-shirt on the cover of the album. So he took it, you know, again, he played it up a little bit, I think, this thing with Neil Young. But again, they both behind the scenes respected each other, liked each other's music. And that little, you know, tip of the hat that Young does, you know, post-plane crash, I thought was kind of a cool move.
Well, if you like stories like this, the book to pick up is If There's a Bustle in Your Hedgerow, 50 Lyrical Lines That Helped Define the 70s. You'll have a very easy time finding it on Amazon.
The John DiBella Podcast.
What do you think? We have a rock and roll party!
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9.
Shut it down!
MGK.
So yesterday, Cindy, I was asking about those food combinations of things that go together well.
Yep.
Okay, and you admitted to all of them being fine with you, except for maybe one.
Yeah, right. Something that had fruit in it, or
right. Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Because it was peanut butter on apples, and you didn't like the idea that the apples were ruining the peanut butter.
Exactly. Right.
Well, it took off online, and a lot of people were putting together combinations that, at best, I would say sound nasty.
All right.
Oreos and sour cream and onion dip.
Nope.
Ew.
Ew.
All right.
Nope.
Grilled cheese with jam.
I've heard okay things about that.
Okay.
I'll give it a bite.
All right. Orange juice and cereal.
No.
Ugh.
No.
What?
Salami with Nutella.
No. Ew. How dare you?
All right. This one, I would venture to this one. Vanilla ice cream and sea salt chips.
Okay.
See that working? Yeah. I dip my fries in my Frosty.
Right. All right, now to really gross you out, mac and cheese mixed with applesauce.
No. Okay, hold on. So Jack and Steven will have applesauce or something with dinner. Yesterday, Jack mixed his applesauce with ketchup for chicken fingers, and then he ate it, and I wanted to die.
and obviously Taylor has voted in on this. Ranch dressing on spaghetti.
Ooh.
Yeah. She'll put ranch dressing on anything.
It's horrible.
On absolutely anything. You dip your pizza in ranch dressing, don't you?
I do that.
I've done that.
I definitely do that.
Cottage cheese with Tabasco straight out the tub.
Oh, I'd give it a look.
Yeah.
Give it a peek.
No.
I don't know.
And here's the killer. Hot chocolate with raw eggs.
Well, technically, the egg could end up being
It cooks it. It cooks it, especially if you're doing it with water.
Yeah.
Right? You know.
All right. I'm in.
All right. Just all together.
Tomorrow, someone bring in eggs.
All right.
We have a hot chocolate machine.
A very hot chocolate machine.
Let's test it out.
Okay.
When we're not here Thursday, you know it didn't go well.
The John DiBella Podcast.
Oh, isn't it sweet?
Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
Steve came to work this morning scarred.
Yeah.
And when we asked what the marks on his arms were all about, we found out,
I pulled an oven rack out and was blocking a one-year-old from a hot oven, and the way I bent my arm, the oven rack burned me right on the bicep.
Right. So
400 degrees.
Right. Dumb accident.
Yeah.
Dumb injury, really. Not an accident.
Yeah, dumb injury. Dumb it was injury. An accident that I injured myself, but it was dumb.
Right. Dave, who seems absolutely perfect, hasn't had a dumb injury since middle school.
Sixth grade. Yeah.
All right,
carved my initials in the tree for a girlfriend I didn't have.
Right.
And it collapsed right on my finger.
Right. And I have a shed in my backyard that the doorway is shorter than I am. And getting in, I never have a problem getting in the shed.
Right.
But coming out of it, bing. I bean my head on the top of that door frame. Probably if I'm in it 10 times a week, I would say I'd bean my head 8.
Got to get you a shed helmet.
All right. Yeah, that's it. I'm telling you, I think Steve's got an idea. I'm going to put those little, Old West bar doors.
That would work, too.
On the peak of the roof.
Better aesthetic.
It's like it still close it, but when I walk through, they'll just kind of slap open. Yeah. So people have been lining up to talk to us about this. The number here in the studio, 215-263-WMGK. Let's go over here and let's start with Sean. All right, It is Sean, right? Is that what that's? Yeah, it says Sean. Come on in, Sean. How's it going?
Pretty good. How you doing, John?
I'm making it through. All right. What was your dumb injury?
I shot myself with a nail gun. Not once, but twice.
Full-size nails, or was it like a Brad nail gun?
Oh, God, no. They were 3 inches. The Ooh. First one, I got a pair of vice grips, and I ripped it out like it was nothing.
Uh-huh.
And 10 years later, I shot myself again, and I was in a hospital for like 6 hours, and they were trying to get it out.
Oh, my God.
How do you shoot yourself with a nail gun?
Well, you pull the trigger.
I know that, John.
In construction, what happens in the wintertime is your line trees up, and it did double shot both times. And then I look down, the one nail's there. Where's the other nail? I look at my hand, one went through my palm the first time, and the one went right through my finger the second time.
I recently went through the exact same thing, but with a Brad nailer,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going through the wood, and it must have hit a knot or something, and it came up right where my hand was, and now I'm attached to the wood.
Mm. Oh, I remember this.
Stu, what was your dumb injury?
I was at a financial planning seminar, reached for my briefcase, fell off the chair, landed on my right ankle and tore a tendon.
Wow, Stu, you seem like you're an athlete.
Right. Was it a high chair?
No, it was a normal chair at a conference table.
What did you have in there, a sniper rifle?
I was reaching for a pen and fell on my ankle, and the next thing I knew, I tore the tendon.
Did you at least get the free meal?
I actually had to walk 4 blocks to get the free meal afterwards. It was not pleasant.
Have a good morning. Oh, Sherry, darling, tell me, what was your dumb injury?
I was at my daughter's birthday party, and she couldn't get the plastic piece out of her water gun. So I put it in my front teeth to pull it open and busted out my front tooth.
Oh, God.
I did something like that when I was a kid, and thinking about it now is making my blood run cold. I was trying to pull the little pin out of pump it up a football or a soccer ball.
Right, yeah.
And I used my teeth to pull out the metal pin,
right.
And it's sort of gone by now, but it left a little semicircle in my tooth,
yeah.
In the bottom of my tooth.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, it makes my blood run cold.
I got one on my front tooth. It's still there.
So stupid.
Teeth just don't work like pliers, even though they seem like they should. Jeff, what about yourself? All right, what was your dumb injury?
We'll call an illegal cut on a table saw.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't work out well. My help starts yelling at me, Jeff. I said, Walt, leave me alone right now. I just got hit by the saw. He said, no, you got to see this. I look across the room. There's my finger. About 15 feet away from me.
Oh, my God.
And then my help doesn't drive, so I got to drive myself to the hospital. I wrap the finger in ice. I'm driving myself to the hospital. I'm going through red lights, but I'm being careful. There's a cop on the other side of this light. He looks at me. I stop. He says, what's the rush? I says, I got a finger in my right hand. It belongs on my left hand. And yet you're driving, he says. He says, pull it over right here. I said, come on, man. Don't make me leave my truck here. All my tools are in it. Don't make me leave my truck. He says, you got to pull it over right there. I says, I can't. That's a one-way street. He says, you had no problem running the red light. Pull it over. Then he proceeds to get me in his car, take me to the hospital. Weren't able to reattach it.
Oh man.
So you're...
Yeah.
Which finger was it?
The one he wanted to use on the cop.
Yeah. Hey, it's my left hand index finger. He says, you know what you're going to use that for? I said, I have no idea. He said, you're going to miss picking your nose. And he was right. That's what you do with your non-dominant index finger.
Wow. Oh, man.
Wow. Oh, my Lord. Wow. I believe we have a winner.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
The John DeBella Podcast. Philadelphia's classic rock station. 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.